Doc Rivers continues to time and time again not get it when it comes to getting... Oh! Let him play!
I agree.
Their second best player is Nervis Solarte. I mean, come on.
Solarte.
They are...
Never nervous. Nervous. City is dead. And then an hour later, I'm horned. Yankee magic. I'm running through walls.
As we always say, you know, the board is the board.
It's the truth.
From Los Angeles, this is Dave in the City, brought to you by Locks of the Week Radio. Now, here's Dave Medina.
Good evening, sports fans, and a pleasure to have you here for the big basketball show. Good to have you with us from the Dave in the City studios in sunny Southern California. We are currently tracking some college basketball action as we prepare our NBA report for this week. Big game in the ACC, North Carolina and Clemson. Clemson with the four-point lead. There are 2.5 seconds left. Clemson, as you know, is Kristen George's alma mater. So not surprisingly, he is pumped. And I invited him to hang out and watch the rest of the game before calling in. I mean, this has been a really exciting game. Now Clemson had a pretty good lead for a while. I think they led by as much as... they has led by as much as 10 points. I'm laughing because Chris was saying he's not happy with Roy Williams calling a timeout right there with only 2.5 seconds to go in the game. So let's see. The inbounds. It doesn't matter if UNC gets it or not. That's it. Clemson wins the game 82-78. Wow. What a big win. They lost their big star player for the season. The fans are rushing the court. And, what a moment. Clemson getting its first win per ESPN, it says here. First win versus North Carolina since January 13th, 2010. That is 10 straight games that North Carolina has beaten Clemson. But this time, Clemson is the one that wins out. So, what a moment there. And, also tonight in the college basketball world, we've got Vanderbilt of Kentucky. And we have Baylor against Oklahoma. And every week I seem to notice Oklahoma's playing on ESPN, on one of the ESPN channels somewhere. So it's a very exciting team to watch. And usually when you see them play, you expect a lot of points. Trae Young, I think he is like the guy that the most people have their attention on. And that's going to be a key as we get into the NBA draft this coming summer. So while we do that, let's settle in for some NBA talk. Big news all around the league. Big name, a big superstar, has his season cut short by injury. Another big superstar gets blindsided, survivor style. Man, what will the future of the NBA hold? Let's jump it. The NBA report for January 30th. DeMarcus Cousins, big superstar for the New Orleans Pelicans. Pelicans having a great season, but unfortunately on Friday night, with only 15 seconds remaining in the game, Cousins tore his Achilles tendon near the end of that game, and he is out for the season following surgery, which I believe was today. So for the roster spot that he had on Team LeBron, Paul George will fill in for him, and already some changes in the All-Star game just like that. And that's not all. Wizards point guard John Wall will undergo knee surgery and will likely miss 6 weeks of the season. That also will eliminate him from Team LeBron. To replace John Wall, they selected the Pistons' Andre Drummond. And more injury news. Andre Roberson from the Oklahoma City Thunder will miss the rest of the season after he ruptured his left patellar tendon. Yay. That's rough because he's a big part of their defense. And That's big news, but the biggest news of all so far, the Clippers trade the face of the franchise, Blake Griffin, their best player, to the Pistons in exchange for several players, Tobias Harris, Avery Bradley, Boban Marjanovic, a first round and a second round draft pick, all of that going back to the Clippers, but devastating news for the Clippers Nation. The news reported by Woj over at ESPN. There was a rumored trade that the Bulls traded Nikola Mirotic to the Pelicans. That trade was canceled, so that is not actually happening as of the moment. So there's how we start with the NBA, this NBA report this time around. And gosh, just earth-shattering news over the last 24 hours. Let's bring in Chris in Georgia to join us for this edition of the report. Chris, first of all, congratulations to Clemson. What a game. Kudos to them. What a game against North Carolina. How's it going tonight?
Hey, Dave. Thanks. Good. How are you? That was exciting. I'm glad you got to watch that.
Yeah, that was a good finish. North Carolina definitely was going to give the, you know, make the run. And the question was, could the Tigers, you know, shorthanded Tigers hang on? And boy, did they. That was it's a big win. I mean, definitely a lot of resolve. I can't say enough about the coaching staff there. They're doing a tremendous job this year, Chris.
Out of nowhere, really, Dave. I mean, the expectations were not high coming into the season. I remember looking at like a lot of the preseason publications, and they had them, you know, down at the bottom of the ACC, which is, you know, is a really good conference. But, you know, the expectations were low. The coach, Brad Brownell, was on the hot seat. A lot of people thought he was going to get fired last year after they did very poorly in the NIT. And then, of course, their best player got hurt in the game against Notre Dame. I guess it was a week and a half ago. And then they got crushed by University of Virginia. They only scored 36 points. So this was a big win. I mean, this is a signature win for Clemson. And this is a school that is a football school at times. Sometimes it's a baseball school. Some people will say it's a soccer school. It's very rarely looked on as a basketball school. So it's very exciting. They made the NCAA tournament since Brownell's first year, which I think has been 5 or 6 years now. So it's been a little while. So if they can keep winning and keep winning these conference games, they'll be fine. They'll be in good shape, and they should get a bid.
Yeah, that's huge. I mean, you beat one rival in Georgia Tech. I don't know how big a rival it is compared to North Carolina, but beating those two teams back to back is enormous. Like, I think those are big, big stands. And Georgia Tech was on the road, so that was very nice. And we'll see how it plays the rest of the way. So let's talk about some NBA stuffs. And speaking of trying to keep winning, the New Orleans Pelicans are really at a crossroads. I mean, losing one of their top two players, and when you say top two players, I think you can make a case he is their best player this year. I mean, I know that over the years Anthony Davis has been getting a lot of popularity, but Boogie Cousins, you know, last week he had that 40-20-10 game, and so he was just on the roll of rolls, and it really just stinks to see him out for the year. So now you wonder whether the Pelicans can continue to have forward momentum and still make the playoffs. I mean, I think they can, but it's not the same. And so I was very, very disappointed and really, really sad to see that injury. And even James Harden, who was in the game against him for Houston, sent a tweet after the game, really just sending him all the best wishes. Everybody's rallying around this guy. I mean, I think he's become a very likable guy around the NBA, Boogie has, This is a big blow for him, for his free agency bidding, for his free agency hopes, and for the Pelicans. Though, that's a tough spot. So, Chris, I was wondering if what you thought about the whole situation. Can the Pelicans rebound from this?
That's a bummer. I mean, I've been on high on Boogie all season, I was kind of skeptical that he and Anthony Davis could work well together, and boy, was I wrong about that. In some ways, I think he's been the better player, and that's saying a lot. It's going to be tough for them. I mean, obviously, you know, they still have an elite player in AD. They have a good point guard in Drew Holiday. But, man, I mean, this guy, you know, in a lot of games, he carried them. And I actually was not watching that Houston game. And you were texting me, and I did not see the text until the next morning. But he got hurt in like the last few seconds of the game. It was, the game was almost over, wasn't it?
Yeah,
it was,
and the game seemed like it was in hand too. That was the most. That's the most frustrating part of the whole thing. It really did happen at the end when there was really no outcome to be decided. It was just unbelievable on an inbound, like basically. I mean, I just feel so bad for him right now.
I do too. I mean, I guess the thing for him to do is just, you know, sign a 1-year deal with New Orleans, and because then we talked about this offline, but you know, he can get that he can still get that max deal from New Orleans. I mean, I don't think they'll give it to him coming off the injury. I think they'll want at least wait a year, but. I don't know. Where do you think he goes from here, Dave? I mean, what would you do if you're in his camp?
Yeah, I know, right? What a question. I honestly didn't have any idea, and your idea of doing a 1-year deal somewhere sounds pretty solid. Now, the question is, where would you do the 1-year deal? And I think a lot of teams will take a chance on him for a 1-year scenario. Obviously, you're not going to sign a guy to a big contract off of that injury. But 1 year to try to prove himself and get another shot, I think it's totally possible. And now I think that he might stay with New Orleans because you mentioned to me that he has Larry Bird rights at this point. So that may give them more of an inside track on Boogie than anybody else. So that would seem to be the front runner. I don't know if he'd stay with it, but it's either that or maybe go somewhere where he might be. Where you might enjoy the scene. Some people were saying the Lakers, I think is silly, but anyway.
Oh, really?
Well, those are mongrels on ESPN, local ESPN in Los Angeles saying that, so I don't take that for very much stock.
Yeah, I think it's in the interest of the player to keep that intact, right, to want to stay with New Orleans because of the Bird rights, right, because they can go above the cap to sign him. And even if he doesn't want to play there, they can still do the sign and trade scenario where New Orleans would sign him over the cap and then trade him somewhere else. And, you know, you'll never get fair value, but at least New Orleans gets something. I don't know. I it'll be interesting to see how it plays out. It is sad that this happened though, because it was a fascinating offseason storyline for one. And I just like the guy. I love watching him, man. I've been kind of getting into the Pelicans lately.
You know, he plays so hard, and that's the one thing that I don't think he gets enough credit for. I mean, everybody was talking about how he's terrible off the court. Well, he was, like, when he was young, but I don't remember any real off the court incidents lately. I mean, I know he was a bit of a hothead when he was in Sacramento, but you didn't hear anything about that this year. All I knew is that he gave his all in every game. And pretty much from the beginning, and now he was just putting out the numbers to support his effort. It's just, the timing couldn't be worse. It's just crazy. So, Pelicans are, you know, I didn't think they were much of a team, but they have been getting better and better with each week. And I think they'll still be all right, but certainly the leadership is not there. I see him as a pretty big leader. I don't know about you, but he visually demonstrated that he could lead a team to big efforts and big wins over the course of the season. So, it's going to be a challenge for New Orleans.
Yeah, I think I definitely agree. I mean, and you mentioned the Mirotić rumor, which from the Pelicans in some ways makes a lot of sense. I mean, they are, you know, it's funny that they're the Pelicans, and yet they're a team that basically has no wings, right? I mean, you look at that roster. I mean, they have the two bigs. They have some pretty good guards like Etuan Moore, former Celtic, and Holiday. But you know, you're looking for the shooting guard, small forward guy, guys who can run the floor and space the floor a little bit. And they didn't have a lot of that. And I think the last time I mentioned, you know, in a lot of ways, Boogie kind of functions in that role. And so that's why I thought Mirotić, you know, made a tremendous amount of sense, even though I don't know about if I'm New Orleans, I'm not trading draft picks just because you need to like fill in that roster, and Mirotić is a free agent also, and that would have been a nice little deal for Chicago, to be honest, because you know Mirotić, you know, he got in that fight in the preseason and missed the first like few months of the season, And, you know, that would have worked out nicely for them if they'd, if that trade had gone through. But, yeah, I don't know. I feel like they're kind of, the Pelicans are just kind of barely hanging on to one of the final playoff spots right now. Excuse me. And it's interesting because this combined with the, I mean, I know the Clippers are out of the playoffs right now, but it really, you know, makes the bottom of that Western Conference playoff scenario kind of interesting, Dave. What do you think?
Well, no, absolutely. I think it opens the door for some other teams. You said, you hinted that the Lakers could make a run at that, at the bottom, one of the bottom seeds. It's a bit of a long shot, but I mean, it's certainly on the table if they can continue to win the games that many would expect them to win. And it's not a huge amount of games, but there are going to be some games where, like against Orlando, for example, tomorrow or whenever they play Orlando, you know, people expect the Lakers to win that game. And same with Brooklyn. I think the Lakers would have a bit of an edge in that game, too. So we're going to see. Now, Chris, I got to interrupt because we have breaking news. Kevin Love broke his hand, and I'm guessing he did it during the game tonight, and he will be out 6 to 8 weeks. Unbelievable. I don't even have a lot of words to say to that. I do know I'm going to have to update my All-Star roster again. The third update in the, like, wow. 2 days. Yeah, that's unreal. I mean, there's been a lot of, there's some supposed bad blood between Love and LeBron, but I don't think they wanted him to break his hand. So that's a big blow, too.
Well, I thought for sure, and I didn't mention him in our trade special, but I thought for sure he was a guy that would be on the block and, you know, they could actually get something decent for him. And then certainly there were a lot of rumors to that effect too. Wow. That's a big blow. The actual bad blood, a lot of the rumors were about Isaiah and him and how Isaiah kind of called him out. I think we mentioned last time, like the game where they got, who did they play? They got blown out and then Love sat out the rest of the game, which I guess a lot of his teammates were crazy.
Was that against
that.
Oklahoma City?
Anyway, that was Oklahoma City. That's right. Yeah. That's right. Yep. You're right. So, man, I feel bad for him. That stinks. That really stinks. I don't care for Cleveland too much, as you know, but I don't wish injury on anybody. That's bad.
Yeah, this is a killer. I mean, this is like their, like you actually hit it on the nose. This is their most tradable asset for the trade deadline to get any useful talent, and now they have no shot. 6 to 8 weeks. I mean, they can't do that. They can't heal him by the time the trade deadline comes. That trade deadline's coming around the corner already, so they're screwed. They got nothing at this point. What can they trade now? That was their most tradable asset. I mean, what do you even do if you're the Cavs at this juncture? I mean, you guess you keep trying to win, but more and more, you just see the odds of them making the finals that much less. And people still buy into it. They're like, well, they still got LeBron. And it's like, yeah, they still got LeBron, but you need other players. Like, you can't have just one player that's good. Like, that doesn't make any – that doesn't help. Now, 2 months from now would be April. No, I don't think – maybe they'd make it back in time for the first round, but it's not good. That is a crushing blow.
Yep. And the trade deadline is a week from – we're recording this on Tuesday.
Yep.
January 30th, mm-hmm. And the trade deadline is next Thursday night. We're just a little over a week away from the deadline, which should be exciting. Or maybe not. I don't know. I mean, you know, look, you know what's funny, Dave, is that there were so many rumors like, the trade deadline's going to go down and, you know, not a lot of big names are going to be moved. And then that afternoon –
I know.
We haven't had a trade like that since Carmelo got traded to the Knicks.
That's right. You're like, oh, there won't be any action this year. And then the face of the Clippers gets traded. That's insane. I still can't believe that trade. I can't believe it happened. I mean, the Clippers went and signed Blake Griffin to a 5-year extension. There was a lot of hoopla about it. People really thought that he was going to be the future of the franchise. They were going to build around him. Like, they have been doing this, but they're going to continue to build around him. Now he's the undisputed leader of the team. He was the guy with Chris Paul out of there. DeAndre Jordan's probably out of there. And we're thinking, okay, well, this is going to be Blake's team. And then this will be his guys, and it'll be a whole new group. And there won't be much, there won't be much dissension because he will be an undisputed leader. And just to think that a team that put that much money into his contract, it was a big contract. We were looking at that about a week ago, coming up with trade ideas. And to think that they would go through all that and still trade him, that is just the most mysterious motive I've ever seen with a trade like that. I'm stunned. And I have to say, Blake must feel really, 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 what's the word? Well, blindsided, I said at the top, but I also think that he must feel incredibly insulted to have gone through that and signed that contract. And, all the hoopla and, it almost seemed like things were really turning a corner. And then just suddenly he's gone. And Ballmer did have a, respectful tweet, but it seems kind of hollow. When you sign a guy to a 5-year deal that big and then trade him within the same season, I've just never seen anything like it.
Yeah, it totally. I mean, like I said, it came out of nowhere. Well, it didn't come out of nowhere. Here's the thing. It did not come out of nowhere because, and I think we talked about it on the show, but there was a rumor that the Clippers had offered him to the Timberwolves for Karl-Anthony Towns.
Oh, yeah, we were going on. That's right. We're talking about that.
So that was out there, and we thought that was crazy, and it was. It was a crazy deal. I mean, the Wolves were kind of rolling, and they were really gelling as a team, and they're basically the third seed right now, or fourth. It's either them or San Antonio, I think, right now. But at any rate, I mean, they're in a good place, and they're in a good spot for the playoffs, and why would you mess up that chemistry? But that rumor was out there, and so that should have been one of our trade rumors, Dave. It should have been Blake Griffin. Where is he going?
Yeah.
But, I don't remember a guy signing a deal like that and then immediately getting traded. And if I were him, I'd be, really annoyed because they kind of had this whole dog and pony show for him, and they simulated a thing where they raised his number to the rafters and they retired his number and the implication being you're going to be a Laker for your career. And, they made him that offer and it was, he's a max contract. And so, yeah, it was surprising from that regard because that doesn't happen. And in a lot of ways, he's the most, one of the most Los Angeles guys on the team. I mean, he dates one of the Kardashians. He's kind of got that whole vibe going where he's out and, enjoying the party scene out there. And, I mean, going from that to Detroit, I don't know. But the other aspect I wanted to talk about, and this is, I want to get your thoughts on it because he's a former Laker. So I think they signed Blake, the Clippers, that is, signed him back in July. And I'll have to look at this, but I think that Jerry West came to the Clippers. Now, he's not officially the GM or anything like that, but he came to the Clippers just before that deal went down.
Yeah.
They got Jerry West, and then within a month, they re-signed Blake. This just, to me, feels like it has Jerry West's fingerprints all over it. This just feels like a West move. The season, we signed all these guys. We pulled up the Paul trade, Chris Paul, that is. We got all these young players. We re-signed Blake. And then what happens? Beverly gets hurt. And then Teodosic is out. And we signed Gallinari. He's out for almost the entire season. And then Blake gets hurt. And the season just wasn't, it really wasn't working out maybe the way he thought. And he thought to himself, you know what? If Blake's getting hurt now, this is a long contract. He's going to be making over $30 million a year. Let's see what we can get, and let's just shake it up. And it just feels like Jerry West to me. I don't know. I mean, you have a lot more insight because he ran the Lakers for so long and he was a Laker. I believe he was the logo of the NBA.
He is logo, yeah.
If I'm not mistaken.
Yep.
And so I'd love to hear your thoughts. I mean, that just came to mind, because I knew, even though they have other guys in the front office who are personnel guys, and Lawrence Frank is one of them, this just felt like Jerry West all over.
Yeah. Good observations. I mean, this is the kind of stuff he did, you know, about 20 years ago when he was a man, you know, when he was the GM of the Lakers, and he really went for it with the free agency period and got Shaquille O'Neal, but before he did that, he was really going after some young guys and really trying to formulate a core of young players. And realistically, the Clippers don't really have a big core of young players right now. I mean, Lou isn't that young. Teo Dosich is young. I mean, he's a draft pick. But, Montrezl Harrell, I don't know how young he is. But, some of these guys are kind of up and down. Like, some guys are older, some guys are younger. But it's a more or less veteran team. So it does seem like he's trying to get out of that. It just feels so dirty. Like, you know, he pretty much was the reason why he got that big extension, but he's also the reason he got traded. It's just kind of, if you are Blake Griffin, you gotta feel so betrayed by this guy. And he just seems like a nice guy, like in interviews and everything, but man, that just felt so dirty to do that to him. But, because, you know, the difference, as you just said, like, the difference between California and Detroit is just kind of absurd. Like, just how much of a difference it is in lifestyle. So, especially right now, I mean, it's kind of sad, you know.
That's the anti Magic Johnson, right? Detroit to Los Angeles.
I know. No, it's a complete. It's the antithesis. It's like going back to Michigan. Yeah, you're right. It's just pretty funny. So I. It has to be that it could have been an opportunity. It does, like we said, bring some credence to that rumor that we had about the Towns for Griffin trade. We thought that was so outrageous. Like, why would the Wolves even attempt that? But it sounds like they were trying to put him out there to a lot of teams, and looks like the Pistons are the one that bit. Now, the Pistons will be sending numerous guys, as you would expect for a superstar of his caliber. To the Clippers, and those guys include Tobias Harris, or is it Tobias Harris, Avery Bradley, Boban Marjanovic, and then the first round and the second round. I think what Jerry's going after is that first round and second round. These other guys are, you know, good but not great. Some of them aren't even that. Some of them aren't even that good. So if you were to evaluate the players that the Clippers got in return, obviously it's not even close to the quality of Blake Griffin, but are they useful players? What do you think?
All right. I've gone back and forth, as you know, on this trade, and I still don't know where I fall. And obviously, you know, it's so hard to evaluate just because of the money factor and what that means and what that's going to mean for Detroit in the next 5 years. How are they going to be able to build a team around the Blake contract? Yes, they got service. They got good players. Tobias Harris is a very good player. I like him a lot. We talked about him on the show. He's one of those ex-Orlando guys who left Orlando and actually improved his game quite a bit. He's improved as a three-point shooter, and he's a much better perimeter guy now. And so he doesn't fill Blake's shoes, but he's pretty good, and he's not cheap. I think he's making about $16 million a year. But you know, you can break up that contract, which is what they did. So they got him. Avery Bradley's a favorite of mine, as you know, but he's a free agent, so he's unrestricted. I don't believe that the Clippers are going to re-sign him or make a strong effort to re-sign him. We'll see. I don't know what the market's going to be. It depends on that. Marjanovic is, I remember him with the Spurs. And, you know, seemed like a useful backup center type. Nothing to go crazy about there. I think you're right. I mean, I think the draft picks are important. There were two players who went to the Pistons along with Griffin, Willie Reed and Bryce Johnson. Willie Reed actually is like a backup center type. He's pretty decent. But I think you're right. I mean, the two things, one is I just think they want to get out from under that contract. Two, the timing was just right. And two, I mean, there's rumors that, you know, they want to go all in on Paul George or LeBron or one of the big free agents. Man, if they can make that work somehow, convince Paul George you want to play with, you know, with Teodosic, more power to him. I don't know about that one. One little fact check thing. I think Teodosic is actually 30. He's not that young. So
he's an old rookie.
Yeah, because he played in Europe for a while. His liver, I think, is in its 40s, though. you're right. I mean, they actually have gotten some good mileage out of this young guy. I had his name up. Tyrone Wallace out of Cal. This guy's been playing really well for them lately, and he's kind of a forward type, and he's done a nice job. But you're right; there's not a young star on that team. Let's put it that way. And so I don't know. They're going to be a fascinating team, David, because look, you know, they've got Bradley on coming. You know, he'll be a free agent. They got DJ; he's a free agent. DeAndre Jordan. Let's see. They also have Lou Williams. He's a free agent. This team could look pretty radically different next year. I mean, we really don't know what they're going to look like, and they could, like I said, they could be very active in free agency.
Yeah, and actually, you got to the point. You actually beat me to it. I was going to say this is going to set the scene for a possible run at two. I don't know if you can do two max contracts, but you could do two big contracts for free agents in the off season, so that could be what the Clippers were going for, and you know it still didn't make sense to me because I thought, well, I mean, didn't you already have kind of a good thing? I mean, Blake Griffin's a popular guy with the fans and everything, and it really did seem like this was going to be the future. Jerry West must have just not liked the injury risk that he possessed, and he has been an injury risk for a long time, and I think that's a big part of it. You know, some people didn't even think he was that good of a player. I did not for a long time. I certainly thought that he'd been playing better this year. A big thing with him is that for a long time he couldn't shoot. He really had terrible footwork, and his defense was terrible. Well, his defense is still terrible, but his footwork looks a lot better, and you've been telling, you know, you certainly have felt that he's been playing pretty well this year. I can't speak to his overall shooting ability, but it seems to have been better than it used to be. So, I think it's going to be interesting. I think you really make a big assumption in that he will stay healthy most of the rest of his career. If he does, it's a slam dunk for Detroit. But as we know, we don't know if that's going to happen. But do you feel like Blake has improved his actual game, you know, regardless of injury over the last couple years?
You know what's funny is his 3-point shooting had been up, and it's kind of leveled down. It's not actually even that much better than it was last year. I hadn't checked it in a few weeks, but it is slightly mildly improved. But he's kind of leveled out. Gosh, you know what? The way I look at the Clippers right now is I feel like, you know, there's kind of two ways to rebuild. You either like bottom out and you just tank and you do what the Sixers did, or you just try to build up assets. And that's what Danny Ainge did, right? So he like traded everything, got draft picks, you know, and you're always using those draft picks and the players you draft to just get slightly better, you know, and Danny Ainge did that. You know, you're going to kill me because I'm talking about Ainge all the time, but it's kind of a textbook way of doing it is that he constantly like turned this first round pick into Isaiah Thomas and then Isaiah Thomas into Kyrie basically. And you know, so you are trading picks and but you're not in that position where, okay, we got to win the lottery every year. Like the Sixers have put themselves into. So, it's going to be interesting just from that standpoint. They're rebuilding. I mean, there's no question about it. And if they don't get one of the big free agents, which, you know, look, that's a long shot. I mean, there's no guarantee that any of these guys, LeBron or Paul George, or any of these guys really want to play for the Clippers. Although the rumor was Paul George was a Clipper fan, but who knows? I mean, you know, that doesn't mean anything. It doesn't necessarily mean he wants to go there, and doesn't mean it's the ideal situation for him. So it's going to be fascinating to see what direction they go. And even though Jerry West is up there in age, I think he's 81. It's going to be fascinating to watch. I'm kind of excited about the Clippers in a weird way.
Yeah. And, you know, Jerry West, I did not realize he was 81. I thought maybe he was in his 70s, but he looks good for his age, if that's true. Wow. Good stuff. Okay. Let's continue then. I mean, that really was a big topic this week. I mean, it was huge.
He's 79. Sorry.
Close. I mean, that's almost 80. So, yeah, it's pretty good. So, he's certainly kept himself in good shape. Well, not surprisingly, when Lowe was out, I looked at the score of the game. It was in the third quarter, and the Cavaliers were up 50. No, what do we have here? 64-59. And since then, the Pistons have gone on a big run, and now they're up 71-65. By the way, Blake Griffin is not playing tonight. I think it's too soon after the trade was consummated. So I don't think he had enough time to. I don't know why. I think that's the reason, but for whatever reason, he's not playing tonight because it's only a day after the trade. So I think they still need to coordinate some stuff before he can play. But without him, they're still winning the game after trailing much of the game. So if you've had an eye on it, Chris, I mean, the Pistons seem like they have a golden opportunity, even without Blake Griffin, to win this thing against Cleveland, having been devastated by the Kevin Love news.
Dave, we've got some, like, tonight's been unbelievable. We haven't even gotten a scoreboard, and every game has been close, pretty much. The only game that's really a blowout has been the Knicks-Nets game. The Knicks have like a 13-point lead in the fourth with about 4 minutes left. But I've had the Kings Pelicans on, and the Kings have actually broken away a little bit. But this was close for a good long while. That Pistons are up by six. Houston Orlando's tied in the third, 85 all.
That's crazy.
It's pretty crazy. And then the Timberwolves and Raptors, the Raptors are up by seven on the T-Wolves. I mean, it's a good night for basketball. We haven't even gotten to the scores.
That's wild. And I saw that the Jazz are up 5 points at the end of the first quarter on the Warriors. Well, that's a big get.
Oh, wow. I didn't see that. And the Spurs Nuggets game is only a 5-point game too.
This is crazy. This is crazy. Unbelievable. So we'll update you on. Well, that's one. Whoa, you got it good with the NBA League Pass tonight, being able to watch all those at the same time.
Like, you can't watch them all. I've been flipping around. I just saw in the Pelicans game, Omer Asik, or Asik, I can't remember how you pronounce it. He basically just clotheslined his own teammate, Rajon Rondo. And Rondo went to the bench. It was pretty bad.
Oh, that's rough.
But Kings winning in New Orleans. Even without Cousins, I mean, this would be a big upset, you know?
Yeah, the Pelicans are going to have to pull it together and find a way to win this, because that, I don't think you can forgive that if you're trying to make a playoff push. You got to beat this team. So we'll see if the Kings, well, how much more they have left in the tank in this one. But it's a great spot. I mean, up nine with three to go in the third, so we'll give that a look. I feel like the Pistons can absolutely win this game now. I don't know if they will, but, you know, that's tough. I mean, emotionally, to manage that big a player on your team leaving the game, and then he's out for 6 to 8 weeks, and then it's like, well, you got to play two more quarters. Like, oh, man, that's tough. That is tough. Imagine you're on a team like that. I mean, that's really tough.
Yeah, definitely. I can't get over this Rockets Magic game. I have not been watching it at all. Rockets, Harden just hit a big three, so they're up by two. But this game's in Houston, and they were down by one to the Magic. And there's still a full quarter to go. I mean, You can't lose. I'm sorry. You just, well, I say that if Celtics lost at home to the Magic, but this would be shocking, though.
Yeah, but comparing the firepower of the Rockets to the Celtics, I mean, even as good as the Celtics are, the firepower that the Rockets have is incredible. So you're right. Like, this is probably as surprising as you could imagine a game right now. I mean, the Magic are awful. I just said, like, just 5 minutes ago, I think the Lakers are expected to beat the Magic whenever they play them. It may not be tomorrow, then. Would the Magic play tomorrow after this? Oh, if they play,
I think it is.
Man, if they play tomorrow, get the Lakers.
It's tomorrow.
Wow.
It's tomorrow.
So they're going to travel from Houston, whether they win or lose this game. They're going to be spent. The Lakers have a golden opportunity here. They could absolutely tear this up if they if they are into it. Well, we'll see. We'll see. We'll see. But
it's not a far flight. I mean, it's not like they're, you know, just, it's a straight shot across the Gulf. I mean, it's not. I mean, it's probably like an hour and a half flight. It's not that big a deal. But but the back-to-backer is pretty. That's pretty bad, you know. That's so. And the Lakers. When did the Lakers play last? Did they play yesterday? I can't even remember. They didn't play yesterday either.
I don't think they played. They haven't played since Sunday. Sunday was their last game against Toronto. Which
Toronto. That was it. That was the last game.
So they got lots of time to enjoy the sunshine of Florida while they wait for the Magic to tough out this game against Houston. So that's a nice spot for the Lakers. They got such a cushy spot. Get to hang out and sip some cocktails while they watch the Magic try to wear themselves out against the Rockets. That's beautiful.
They're on Space Mountain right now.
Exactly.
What is the status of the Lakers? Like, in terms of, like, I know Lonzo missed a few games, and then, and I believe, I don't think Kuzma was out. I know Lonzo was out, and where are they with all the injuries? Are they back to 100% full strength now?
Almost. They're getting closer. Lonzo cannot play the Magic game tomorrow. They ruled him out, but his progress has been going very well, according to the Lakers reporters. So he should be back in the next week or so, I think. It's been
Go ahead.
I was just going to say that they estimated his healing time to be about 3 weeks, and we're in week number three now, so I think they're pretty much on schedule. Anyway, you were saying?
And what is it? What is the injury?
That's a good question. I forgot. It's been long enough where I can't remember.
I could just Google it.
Yeah, I'm going to Google it now.
MCL.
Okay, so MCL. It was an MCL injury, a sprain of the MCL.
I mean, they played well without him, though. I mean, they played solid. They beat Boston.
It's been an interesting turnaround because before this MCL injury, previous games without Lonzo Ball, they were 0-13. But since the extended time off, it has given other players a chance to really put their feet down on the ground and really establish themselves. And Clarkson's an established player already, but he had a huge last couple of weeks, which is, I think, instrumental. It's really interesting. I don't know. I do kind of worry now that Lonzo coming back might actually, you know, bog down the offense. You know, you really hope that's not the case. But certainly they've done a really good job rallying around him. They've actually pretty much had their best two-week run of basketball this entire season so far. So it's an unusual situation. Like, you lose your top, well, not your top player, but your most well-known player. You know, outsiders probably would say that Lonzo Ball is the most recognizable name as of the moment on that team. So losing him for two to three weeks, you think, man, they're going to get killed. But they ended up actually winning more games this way. So it's good momentum. Hopefully Lonzo can get back in the groove. Granted, his limitations with shooting ability is going to be a problem, but that's going to be the question mark, I think, all year. I don't know where the Lakers are. It's a good question. It's hard to evaluate whether this is going to be the start of something big or whether it just happened to be a team that got hot for a couple weeks and then they go back to being bad and turning the ball over all the time like they usually do. But we certainly have seen some great performances by numerous players in the last month. So I hope that they can keep that momentum going. I think they do seem to have a little more confidence in themselves now. I can't speak to exactly what their defensive how good their defense is, because it seems to really vary from game to game. So that's basically it. I think the Lakers are in every game, and it seems like they've shown an ability to beat the top teams now, and they came really close to beating Golden State. They beat Boston. They beat Houston. They almost beat Houston a second time. They remember they had that big collapse in the fourth quarter in that one over the holidays. So they have a big ceiling, right? Like that's a really big ceiling team, albeit a small team and one with a very thin backcourt. But all in all, I think lots to love, and we'll see what the trade deadline brings.
I wanted to see, like, in terms of, like, guard play, like, who's kind of stepped it up? Has it been Tyler Ennis? It seems like Caruso's had a big couple
weeks. Yeah, I think Caruso's really been the guy that stepped it up in recent time. And, yeah, he's actually had some pretty good performances, you know? I mean, the ceiling is, like, nothing. And he's broken the ceiling quite often. So I give it to him. He's been all right, so... definitely some guys have stepped it up, so that's always a good thing. I still think that they should benefit from the trade deadline. It's kind of, you know, it's a principle thing where you're not going to trade with the Clippers because that's your basically your in-town rival. So otherwise, I feel like they could have tried to engineer something to get Lou Williams back. It would be really interesting, but maybe not the best of ideas because I think they really need a two-way guard. They need a guy that can be good on the defensive end, too. Lou Williams ain't that, so that's the only thing about it. So a lot of choices on the table. I don't know if they're going to do it this offseason. I mean, this midseason. We'll see. But
yeah, I don't know. I mean, like, I sort of think, like, they're sort of in a similar boat to the Clippers in that I think they definitely want to – I mean, Magic's made no secret. He wants Paul George, and he probably wants LeBron, too. But they're going to have to work a little magic, no pun intended, to do that with a cap. I mean, because the bad contract, I mean, on that team is really Lou Alden.
Oh, dang. Oh, and, God, you can't get rid of the guy.
And so I think they're going to have to – they might have to trade some guys before the deadline. I could see them trading Randall, even though, you know, he's a free agent, but just to get some value for him. And there'll certainly be a market for him. Gosh, I mean, Clarkson's the next guy, though. I mean, I almost think you have to trade him because he's making $12 million next year, $12.5 million, and $13 million the following
it's
year.
It's tough, though, because he's like one of the few. I mean, he's only the guard position is so thin. It's like he is a very tradable player, but unfortunately, it's at a position where they really need the guard play. You'd have to be traded for two guards, I think, to make the Lakers benefit from that long term, because he really is a great bench player. And yeah, that's a tough one. I think you're right, though. They should probably trade him. I mean, it's going to hurt them in the short term, but obviously they got bigger plans in the short term.
So, I mean, they're like almost in the same boat, if you think about it, than the Clippers. I mean, they're a few games behind them in the standings. I think the Lakers have 19 wins, and I want to say the Clippers, how many are the Clippers? I mean, there's probably like five or six games between them in the standings. I mean, if you're the Lakers right now, do you push to get that 1 year playoff experience? Looks, you know, I mean, if I'm not mistaken, there's seven games out of the eighth seed, which means you get the ability to play the Golden State Warriors in the first round, or do you just sell off these assets and go get LeBron and Paul George in the offseason, or one of those guys?
I think if the Lakers want to really cash in, they're going to do the latter. Now, I've been outspoken a couple times. I don't know if I've done it on the show, but I've certainly done it to you in messages. I have been on the record saying I would rather not deal with LeBron at this point, because we don't even know if he's already on the decline of his career. You know, he is at this point, he was born in 84, so he'd be 30. He'd be 34 this year?
34.
Yeah. Oh, no, 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 no. That's not a good, no, no, no. That's not a good idea. No, no, no. That's a terrible call. Because I remember when Hakeem Olajuwon turned 34, his career, his performance stats from that point on went way downhill. It went off. It went. It was a exponential dive of futility. I really don't advise that any team forget the, not even just the Lakers, but any team put LeBron onto a big contract right now, because it could fall off at any moment. It's a bad call. So the Lakers really, I don't even know why other Laker fans want him. I don't get it. Like, it's like, he's not that young anymore. It's any moment he could really become an injury liability. And then you've got all the fluff that comes with it. And, he's going to be too much of a, he's going to want too much say in the GM moves. And honestly, that doesn't do it for me either. And so I'll put it all together. I don't think it's going to happen anyway, but that 34, he's been great. He's been staying healthy all that time, but you just know that any moment now it could come apart. That's really old for a guy that's played that many games. He's been to so many playoffs,
and
too.
And how many minutes, too.
Yeah, tons of minutes. Every game, he's like 40-something minutes. Absolutely.
I mean, this year, I last time I checked, he was in the, I think he might have been the leading, he might have been the leader in minutes played this year, which is insane. And, I mean, you know, the thing about LeBron is, like, and people point that out all the time, is that he never really has ever been hurt, Dave. I mean, he's kind of a freak in that regard. He's just been so durable, and he plays all the time, and he never gets hurt. He plays more minutes than anyone, he never gets hurt. So, you know, I mean, there is that aspect. Like, you know, maybe he doesn't age the same way as other guys do. I don't know. But
don't trust it. You know why? Because Kobe was that. He played a ton of minutes every year. And people are like, oh man, he just keeps playing and keeps scoring 30 points a game, and he's never going to break down. Last 3 years of his career, you couldn't even recognize him. He was so bad. I'm just saying, it's like, got to be careful. You don't want to overcommit to a guy like that advanced into his career.
So let's say the Lakers go year round and they trade. I mean, Clarkson's the most obvious guy that they would have to trade because, you know, outside of, I mean, if they could find a buyer for Deng, great, but I don't think they will. So Clarkson's the guy to go, and that, you know, they're kind of giving up on the season. I mean, not, you know, at 19 wins, I mean, what does it mean? But, you know, they're looking ahead and thinking, okay, well, the amount of money that we're paying Clarkson, we could use to sign a Paul George. And let's say Paul George is a target. And it's not a stretch because, let's face it, Magic already said that. You trade Clarkson, you get George, then you all of a sudden, you're very front court heavy, right? I mean, let's say Randall's gone, but you replace him with George. Man, you got to load up on guards too, right? I mean, you got to get – I mean, they don't have a first rounder this year. They have to get in the market for a guard also to go with Paul George. So it probably doesn't make sense to sign both LeBron and Paul George unless you're going to trade one of the young guys for a good young guard. Because, you know, you got Lonzo, and, you know, if you keep in mind you trade Clarkson, then you're looking at, I don't know. I mean, who else do they have? I mean, you got Josh Hart, you got Corey Brewer's coming off the books too. I mean, you don't have a lot of depth back there. So you'd almost have to trade one of the young guys, which in a way is an argument, you know, you pursue one of Paul George and or LeBron. And I actually don't even know where they stand in terms of the payroll, in terms of like how far over the cap they are and what they would need to sign to max contracts, which is what Paul George and LeBron would represent. So I think you're right. I mean, it almost doesn't make sense. You try to get one of those guys, which is not a far-fetched idea. And then see, you know, try to pick up a nice, not cheap guard, but like a mid-range, mid-salary player. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I think, that's outlines, it's a really good plan. And, I think it sounds palatable to me. And you're right. I mean, Paul George being a forward is going to be the complicated part of this because, yeah, I mean, he's not really – he's just emphasizing an already existing strength. I certainly see that. But, I mean, he does play the swingman role pretty well. Maybe you do that. I'm not sure. But I have to think that there are lots of good guards available out there, too. Like, you know, I'm trying to think of who would be available over the next couple of years. I'm not sure. Maybe you could even trade for a draft pick and try to get one of a plethora of good guards coming out of college right now. I mean, you can see many, many good players in college basketball these days. So that's always on the table, too. So, yeah, it's going to be interesting. Maybe they'll find another diamond in the rough, a la Kyle Kuzma, you know? That's always a possibility. Yep. So it's an exciting time for the Lakers from this standpoint. A lot of opportunity. It's like having a big, big canvas, and it's mostly clear, and you can really put any kind of art that you want on it. So it should be fun. So we'll see what happens. I mean, still a lot to discuss about that. We've got about 4 minutes left, so let's just quickly get into All-Star rosters. A lot of changes. I mean, we talked about how there have already been two guys taken out of the LeBron team and replaced. And now there's three. It's just sad that all of them are on the LeBron team. Like, LeBron must feel so hosed right now. I mean, he was just kind enough to, you know, let bygones be bygones and pick Kevin Love. And Kevin Love breaks his hand. He's up for 6 to 8 weeks. And then
he took Kyrie too, didn't he?
Yeah, Kyrie too.
Oh man, I think both Celtics are on that team. If I'm not mistaken, isn't Horford on that team, or is Horford on the other?
No, Horford's on the Steph Curry team. So, yeah. But so
I don't want him to pick any more Celtics because I don't want him ending up in the hospital.
Seriously, oh my goodness, this has just been a disaster. Poor LeBron, poor Team LeBron, too. So here's what's left. LaMarcus Aldridge, Bradley Beal, who, geez, after John Wall had been getting hurt so much, who knows if he might be next on the Wizards. Paul George, who will replace DeMarcus Cousins. Anthony Davis, Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving, somebody else to replace Kevin Love. Now, that may, in fact, open the door for Kemba Walker now, because you were speculating that. They wound up going with Andre Drummond instead to replace John Wall. Now, on top of that,
I have no problem with that. I like that.
Yeah, I think Andre Drummond's a pretty good player. I mean, that guy can get vertical. That guy's pretty good. So then you've got Victor Oladipo, Kristaps Porzingis. Who knows? Maybe he'll get hurt tomorrow. But I'm not serious about that. Just making a joke. But Russell Westbrook will round out Team LeBron. So that's Team 1. Team 2, Steph Curry's team, Giannis Antetokounmpo, Jimmy Butler, DeMar DeRozan, Joel Embiid, Draymond Green, James Harden, Al Horford, Damian Lillard, Kyle Lowry, who just came back from an injury, remember that from the Nets game a while ago, Klay Thompson, and Karl Anthony Towns. So no injuries on that team yet, but we still have about a week to go. So, who would you favor in this matchup so far? I mean, it's very, very interesting. And LeBron just has got the worst luck with his roster. That's one third of his team has been out, is out, and has to be replaced. But how do you see it?
I really like LeBron's team because, I mean, the one thing that stuck out to me at first was that he picked both of the Pelicans' big guys. And, of course, Boogie gets hurt, but man, he replaces him with Paul George. You're going to have Paul George, AD, and LeBron in the front court on that team.
It's pretty good.
That's going to be a treat. I guess Paul George immediately goes into the start. I don't know how that works. Does he go into the starting lineup? I guess. I don't know. Doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me. But I'm there. The interesting thing about this has been, though, for Paul George, from replacing Boogie, was that the guy who was lobbying for George to make the team was his teammate Russell Westbrook.
Hmm.
And
it's true. You're right.
I think that is interesting. I mean, I mean, granted, you know, you develop a chemistry with a guy, you play with him for, you know, about, what, 5 months now. But I wonder if there's a chance that, you know, George stays with Oklahoma City. I don't know, just throwing it out there. And it was never a thought after the trade was made, but maybe there is a possibility. Maybe Russell Westbrook's like pushing for him to stay, and he's trying to do what he can to get him to stay with him in Oklahoma City. Just a thought.
It's an interesting thought. I mean, I thought he was as good as gone, but that endorsement was certainly is not going to go unnoticed. And I think Paul George most definitely appreciates the love. And hopefully, speaking of love, someone's got to replace Kevin Love, right? So probably, yeah, it's going to be an interesting game. Very different team that you might think. So,
yeah.
Wow. So very, pretty good. Go ahead.
I just want update Magic Rockets. This game is bananas. 4 minutes left. It's tied at 105. I mean, it's been back and forth. It's just been nonstop. I can't believe how exciting this game is. Because you don't think about the Magic being in a thriller, really, but they are right now.
They must be thrilled right now. This has got to be like their NBA Finals. They must be feeling like they're in an NBA Finals Game 7 right now, on the road. Nobody believes in them, and it's all tied up at 105. I got it on here on NBA TV. There are 4 minutes to go in the game, and it should be a really good time. Last thing, and then we'll go our separate ways for the week. The Rising Stars teams announced the rosters look pretty good. The World Team features a lot of great players. Joel Embiid is the most notable of them. Buddy Hield, Lauri Markkanen, Jamal Murray, Frank Ntilikina from the Knicks. who else do we got? Bogdanovich of the Kings is on there too. And Ben Simmons from the 76ers. Actually, there are three guys from the 76ers on this team. Embiid, Saric, and Simmons. And Saric goes back a couple years, so I guess this is like rookies and sophomores and maybe even third-year players. So that's interesting. Now, on the U.S. team, a lot of Lakers. Lonzo Ball. You have Brandon Ingram and Kyle Kuzma. I mean, definitely all three players have had a very good start to the year. And I think Lonzo will be fine by the time the Rising Stars game is underway. Also on the team, two of your Celtics, Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum, most deserved. I mean, those guys have been fantastic so far in their early career. You got Brogdon from the Bucks, Chris Dunn from the Bulls, and Donovan Mitchell, who you said many great things about, from the Utah Jazz. And Dennis Smith Jr. is in from the Mavericks. I have no idea who he is. I've never heard of him. But let's get your feel for the Rising Stars teams.
Yeah, first of all, I love this game just because it gives you a chance to see guys who have a lot of talent and who you definitely don't, maybe, or not definitely, but you may not focus on as much. It's first and second year guys. The fact that they do U.S. against the world initially bothered me, but now I like it because it just kind of showcases where these guys come from. Like you forget, like Buddy Hield is from he's from Jamaica, I think, or Bahamas, or like, you know, Markkanen from Finland. I mean, it just spotlights what a international game this is and how many, you know, how much good talent there is from around the world. I love it. I'm psyched, man. I mean, you know, it's been a while since the Celtics have had this kind of young talent. I mean, I remember Kelly Olynyk played in it 1 year, but you know, it's like Jaylen and Jason have been so exciting. I mean, gosh, you got to be thrilled. We got the three Lakers in there. I wasn't even counting those Sixer players, but yeah, there's three of them. I love it. I'm psyched for this. I get into this even way more than the main game, just because you know those guys. I see them. I mean, like I'm, you know, seeing James Harden play, like. I watch him all the time, you know, but getting to see, like, you know, Markkanen and Hield and all these guys square off again, you know, it's going to be more exciting, I think. And so I'm really looking forward to this one, Dave.
You know, I keep missing it, but I will definitely make some time for this one. This is a great field this year. And I just like the concept of it more because I feel like these guys are going to be hungrier and it should be a really good game. And it's been a good game. I've seen the results and they tend to be pretty competitive. So, well, that's it for now. Enjoy the rest of that Magic Rockets game. My goodness, I'm rooting for Orlando in this one. I hope they win, well, for two reasons, I guess. It helps the Lakers too. But more importantly, I just think it'd be really cool if they could pull off the upset. That would definitely get some news headlines in the NBA, right?
Absolutely.
And how much time's left in that game? Like 4 minutes?
It's 2:44 right now. It's tied at 107.
Wow. You could see that going to overtime. Like it could totally go to OT.
Absolutely, yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
If you're a Rocket fan right now, people must be pulling their hair out over this game. What the heck is this? Everybody's healthy, right? There isn't anybody hurt. I mean, maybe Paul's not playing, but I think everybody is. Harden's back, right? Because he's been back for a week.
I think so. Is Chris Paul out? I can't remember. He might be. Yeah, you might be right about that.
Well, it doesn't matter, though. I mean, the most important player of that group is Harden. So as long as he's playing,
definitely.
This is a big surprise, definitely. So, all right, I'll leave you to it. Chris, always a pleasure. Enjoy the weekend.
Thanks,
and I hope hope we can get back into it again next week.
Sounds good. Thanks so much. Thanks for having me.
You bet. All right. Take care. So Chris in Georgia, and that's it for our NBA report this week. You know, it's unbelievable. You know, it's just the amount of excitement and breaking news we've had in the last week or so has been staggering. So this has certainly been a lot of fun to converse about. So enjoy it, everybody. More to come here on the feed, of course. And we continue our Super Bowl week podcast, as you see on our feed. Well, we'll see you next time.